I'm wondering, Brother Bill, if he is able to carry out in the spirit of waiting on Moses, he's able to carry things out ultimately, it is because of what we just had. He broke the impact of Amalek. If that hasn't happened with us, we're going to carry residual effects of the flesh. It doesn't tell us that he took the flesh and had it hanging. And as a result, some of it would be carried. It said he broke it. Have you ever seen a kid take his toy and with the two hands grab it and split it in two? That's essentially, I think, the idea you have here concerning the flesh. There is nothing carried. So from here on in, Joshua is a man who has been rid of the flesh and he's in the character and feature of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and is able to move in line with what Moses, the type of Christ, authoritatively sets out.
If we compare it with Exodus chapter 32, the next passage, verses 17 and 18, just to put those two side by side, we can see as another confirmation of what was mentioned, Joshua was evidently there on his own, maybe partway up the mountain, and Moses had gone alone. And what I think is also very significant is that God didn't say to Moses, come up for 40 days, because then you could start counting, right? You could know, okay, well, it's 20 days, halfway done, or whatever. You would have maybe expected, go up the mountain, I'll see you in a day or two. I'll be back. I'll see you in a few hours. But the defined period, the period of waiting was not defined. And especially in contrast, the fact that this is really the second lesson for Joshua, it's so different from the first. In some ways, it's easier to serve the Lord, if I may say it that way, through a great deal of activity, because we can see the results. We can see, oh, the Lord helped me to do this. I was trusting the Lord, and this happened. We can see what takes place in those results. But to serve the Lord by just waiting and not even knowing how long the period of waiting will be and not knowing necessarily what's going to come after the period of waiting, this is very essential. But really, many believers in the Old Testament and the New have had to experience this. Paul had time by himself in the desert of Arabia. Elijah had to spend time by himself if he was really going to learn the mind of God when he instead fled from the queen. And there are many, many others. The time by ourselves, the time of waiting, is an essential lesson to learn. How do we trust the Lord? How do we show our dependence on the Lord? If the Lord says wait, do we receive that word also and obey that word, trusting that it's going to be useful in the way that he wants to use it?
As we're moving in the life of Joshua, in the first one, there was a rehearsal in his own ears only. And that's, as we have mentioned before, Brother Bill, it's very important so that we might be reminded time after time of our nothingness, that it's not us that brought the victory, it's Jehovah himself. I will. That's what Jehovah said. I will, not Joshua. But for a person to be rehearsed and come to the conclusion of our nothingness, when we move to the following portion, we read of him in a very special, interesting title. Moses' attendant. And I want to just draw a comparison between him and John Mark in the New Testament. John Mark was said of him that he was the attendant, or he ministered unto Paul and Barnabas. Brethren, there are very few people in the scripture that the Lord says, my. You know, we are all servants. But when God acknowledges somebody, my servant Moses, in Joshua chapter 1, and he says he spoke to Joshua, Moses' attendant. See, we all would like to claim that we serve the Lord. But how many of us would love to serve the brethren? To be ministers. to just serve with whatever capacity in a very humble way. Joshua lived with that title, that he was Moses' attendant. That word attendant is very same to the word servant. Brethren, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. But in light of serving the Lord is really serving his own. And Joshua was one who enjoyed and accepted such a ministry to serve his own people, to serve somebody like Moses. And we have been challenged earlier about the older and the younger. Maybe it's an encouragement for the young brethren. You see, I remember when older brethren, they are with the Lord, they used to take us to conferences. They really used to take us to conferences. Fill up the car and let's go to a conference. So maybe now the next generation should learn also how to serve the saints of God. That as we are growing, it's not always we're looking for the right, but maybe we can bring older brethren, encourage them to be with us in the car and bring them to conference. So let's learn of ways of how to serve the people of God.
Amen.
The secret of why Joshua waited these 40 days and did not lack patience, I think the secret is he was paying attention to what Moses said. Moses said in verse 14 to the elders, "You abide here and we will come back to you." He knew that he would not move without Moses. And I think it's a very important thing to us that we would not move without the Lord.
So if we tie this waiting in with, again, with Exodus 32, as we move forward, because we only have a half hour, brethren, we see Moses now coming down after 40 days, coming down the mount. He has the tablets that God had given him, written with the hand of God, as we read in verse 16 of chapter 32. The work of God, writing as the writing of God, graven upon the tablets. He comes and he meets up with Joshua and they hear a noise. And Joshua, he hears a noise of shouting, the people shouting, and he says there is a noise of war in the camp. And you know, it's not a surprise that Joshua would think of war. He is a man of war. He is a military-minded man, and that's his experience. And so he would relate things based on his past limited experience. And we all do that. And in itself, we wouldn't find fault. But there's a need for discernment, right? And Moses, being a man of much more experience, knew this different sound of a war cry versus a chaotic pagan celebration cry. And he knew the difference, and he had to say to Joshua, no, it is not the cry of war. It is not a shout of war in verse 18. It is not that, or a cry of being overcome. In other words, a victory cry or a cry of lamentation, but it's the noise of them that sing, do I hear? He had the discernment. He had the wisdom, Moses, that is. And this is something we need to learn. It is a gift. We read in Corinthians that there is a gift of discerning spirits. We are told in 1 John that we should test all the spirits. We should test them with the word of God. But discernment is something that is gained by not relying on our own wisdom and our past experience alone, which we often do. And this is another lesson for Joshua. We don't see Joshua saying, no, I think I'm right, you're wrong, Moses. None of that. He just accepts the correction. Can we accept correction? How do we feel when we're corrected? Are we often just defend ourselves? No, I'm right, you're wrong. Or do we just accept it? And maybe just stay silent, because we don't see Joshua respond. He just listens to learn. And so there is a need for discernment, willing to accept correction in this. Perhaps more could be said. I'd like us to move to the next section unless there's more that could be said.